Thank you. It is indeed a joy to be back at Central Seminary. Appreciate the open door opportunity to share the chaplaincy ministry with the student body here. I play one note, and that's promoting the chaplaincy ministry. That's where my heart is. That's where God's called us. And so I just want to share some things with you about that, the opportunity and need of godly chaplains in the military. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 17, Bible says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren." Of course, you're familiar. Israel is at war with the Philistines. The older sons of Jesse are at the battlefront. David's still the little one, home watching the sheep. Dad's concerned about the boys in battle. So he calls David and says, "I want you to go check up on your brothers, find out how things are going, and while you go, take something for them to eat." David carried physical bread to his brothers who were fighting in the army of Israel. The chaplain today takes spiritual bread to those that are fighting in the U.S. military. Army chaplain Major Gary Fisher said this, "My mission is simple, to bring God to the soldier and the soldier to God." That's what it's all about, is taking the good news of salvation to our military people and seeing them come to know Christ as their Savior. U.S. military is indeed a mission field. I have termed it, as our display says, America's mobile mission field. For approximately every 3 years, everyone in the military moves. And so it's a mobile ministry, a mobile mission field. At least 70% of our veterans never heard a chaplain preach a clear, simple gospel message while they were in the military. 90% the young people going into the military today, and something around 215,000 young people between the ages of 18 and 24 enlist in the military every year. 90% of those young people, when they show up for basic training, have never heard a clear, simple gospel message. One of the questions they ask at the induction center, and we visited one in L.A. last spring, "What is your church preference?" They're not looking for the name of a local church, but a denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, and so forth and so on. 90% of the young people check no church preference. I'm not sure they even understand the question, most of them. But we have a generation of young people that never go to church. They've never been under the sound of the gospel. And so our military is a great mission field. And it's open to independent fundamental Baptist preachers today, as it has not been in many, many years. When I first started this ministry 12 years ago, a denomination had X number of slots for chaplains based on the size of the denomination. Shortly after I began this ministry, they began to see that those denominations that believe and practice baptizing babies, and you know who they are, could not fill their slots. And it's interesting, for the most part, they're the same denominations that criticize the military, if you pay attention to what's going on. But they couldn't fill their slots. So without any fanfare, no public announcement, you had to be in the military. One of our chaplains made me aware of it. They dropped the slot designation based on the size of the denomination. And today, every young person, I should say in this group, every young man, but those denominations that believe in ordained women, they have those in the chaplaincy. So, but every young man that meets basic qualifications gets accepted into the chaplaincy today. I represent the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship International, that portion of our fellowship that endorses chaplains to serve in the U.S. military. By the way, basic qualifications: be a U.S. citizen, high school graduate, college graduate, seminary graduate, Master Divinity. Now, if some of you have heard, I understand, and we are fully aware, they'll take a 72-hour graduate degree today. But for young people going through college right into seminary, we insist with the FBF they go ahead and get a full MDiv. When they dropped it to a 72-hour degree, they lowered the standards. And we just believe the young man needs that 94 or 96 hours, whatever the MDiv of a particular institution requires, to be fully prepared to face what he's going to face in the military. Now, if a man comes to us, he's pushing the age limit. He's a college degree, has a master's degree in Bible, and, 12, 14 years in the pastoral ministry, then we will work with him to complete the 72 hours for those years in ministry count for something. And but he's pushing the age limit primarily of getting in, so we work with him. But that's the requirements educationally for being in, going into the military as a chaplain. Then there's paperwork on the military side of it, plus a military physical. They must pass that. Then after they get into the military, there's a chaplaincy school they must attend. There they teach no theology. I find it interesting that even the military, the Department of Defense, looks at a young man receiving his theological training from his home church and seminary, not the college, for they'll accept any major college degree. We've got our most senior chaplain today was a pre-med major, has a science degree. Wasn't saved and then got saved and moved to the chaplaincy corps. But that's the requirements for being a chaplain in the military. But the door is open. Like I said, not a single young man that we have agreed to endorse with the FBF has been refused acceptance into the chaplaincy corps. So the door is open, and it's exciting what God is doing with real men of God in the military. They have total liberty to preach the gospel. We have 13 chaplains on active duty today endorsed by the FBF. Not a single one of our chaplains has had any opposition in ministry, preaching, praying in Jesus' name. No one tells them what they can preach and cannot preach. Along with recruiting the chaplains, visiting Christian colleges, seminaries, as we crisscross the country, we also visit our chaplains where they're living, where they're serving. Had the privilege last night of being with John Shea, a graduate here of Central. As a National Guard chaplain here in Minnesota now. I had a great time with he and his family last night, yesterday evening. But we visit the chaplains. A little over a year ago, we were at Fort Huachuca, southern Arizona, visiting Roger Rodriguez and his family. And you hear this about opposition and limitations on what a chaplain can do. And so I started, Roger, we hear every now and then something about restrictions for preaching and this kind of stuff. He broke in and said, Bob, it's all rumor. It's all rumor. Nobody in the Army tells us what we can preach or cannot preach. And so that's exciting. The door's open. The opportunity's there. And they do have to use their head. And be wise. One thing, very simple to start with, when a chaplain walks into the pulpit of a military chapel, he has many denominations or the possibility of many denominations sitting in front of him. Many different ranks from enlisted to officers, maybe including the base commander, might be in that service on any Sunday morning. And remembering, 70% of the veterans never heard a chaplain preach the gospel. 90% of the young people going in have never heard the gospel. The sensible thing to do is preach the gospel. You know, just take a passage, preach the gospel, tell those folks that God loved them and Christ died for them. And if they'll accept Him, He'll save them. That's what they need to hear. They don't need to hear what's wrong with anybody else's religion or anything. They need to hear the gospel and given that opportunity to come to know Christ as their Savior. Beyond that, during the week, they have Bible studies, and they can advertise those outside the room where they meet. It's an independent Baptist Bible study or Baptist Bible study. And there they then go into Baptist distinctives and things like that. And certainly during the week, anyone asks the chaplain a question. They go to him and ask him a question. He has total liberty to answer the question according to his convictions. And so it just opens the door in those areas. But in visiting another one of our chaplains at Fort Bragg several years ago, he wanted me to see the soldiers getting prepared to jump and to then go to the jump zone and watch them jump out of the airplane. I'd never seen that. So we went to what they call the green ramp, and there they were simply putting on their parachutes. Someone was there to check to be sure they were on right. Before they boarded the plane, most of them were ready to go. Greg crawled up on the table, got their attention, and said, "I'm Chaplain Greg Odiorn. Most of you do not know me. You're not in my unit, but a number of my units here to jump today. And I want to have a word of prayer with you before you board the airplane and go out to the jump zone." But he didn't stop there. He went ahead and said, "I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist, and I pray from that perspective." He told them what was coming, who he was, where he was coming from. And no one said a word, you know, for they were made aware. And so, like I said, have to use your head. But the doors of ministry and opportunity are just unlimited in the military. I mentioned Gary Fisher. His first 3 years as Army chaplain was at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, in basic training. His first year there, he saw 150 young people trust Christ as their Savior. The chapel in the basic training area where Gary was stationed would seat 315 people. The chapel was packed twice every Sunday morning during the basic training cycle, every cycle. So that's over 600 young people, ages 18 to 24, that Gary preached to every Sunday morning. Now, Gary knew it, and anybody that understands the military knows anything about it. Most of those young people, probably 99% of them, went because if they did not go to church, they had to continue training and working. And the chapel was cool in the summer, warm in the winter, and they could sit down for an hour. But they were under the preaching of the Word of God. The Scripture says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And Gary faithfully preached the gospel, preached the Word. I was privileged to attend a service there one Sunday morning. Gary preached the gospel, preached the Word. Some 12 or 15 young people stepped forward at the invitation, desiring to trust Christ as their Savior. Now, Gary didn't just lead them in the sinner's prayer and say, "God bless you, I'll see you in glory someday." But he got their names, and during the week, he got with each of those young people with his Bible and talked with them, making sure they knew what they were doing and saw them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. A total of 150 his first year. I'm not really asking how many thereafter. But Gary was a part of their lives on a daily basis there in basic training. Whatever they were doing, Gary was in the field with them at least every phase of their training, so they could see that the chaplain cared for them and was concerned about them. And this is what makes the difference. And I think this is one of the things that sets our chaplains apart and all those that are really godly men that go there because that is God's call upon their life. Many of the chaplains, it's a profession and not a ministry. It's a job choice. You wonder why some of them are there. Wayne Bly retired, June was a year ago, after 40 years in the Navy, about 33 of them as a chaplain. He told me that his first assignment as a chaplain, one day he and his senior chaplain were just talking, having discussion as they went about the responsibilities that they had, and the conversation turned to the days of the week. This senior chaplain, Duane, made the statement that Sunday was the worst day of the week for him. Wayne said, "Sir, what do you mean by that?" His reply was, "They expect us to preach on Sunday. I hate preaching." You know, had volunteered to be a chaplain in the U.S. military. Didn't even like to preach. And so, you know, like I said, for many of them, it's simply a profession. It's a good job, a very well-paying job with some outstanding benefits. In fact, young man goes into the military as a chaplain, spends 20 years. The Army, the Air Force, easily make lieutenant colonel, the Navy, commander, or captain. And after 20 years, he walks away with full retirement. And his retirement pay is more than the average independent Baptist pastor's pay, putting 50 and 60 hours a week in the ministry. And that's all they're looking for, plus they have their medical benefits. And so for many of them, that's all they're looking at. But for the man that goes there, because he knows this is God's call upon his life, he goes there to work. He is a hard worker. He's doing what he's getting paid to do. Company commanders, senior officers have seen so many lazy chaplains that disappear during the week, that do absolutely nothing. When a real man of God shows up and is actively involved in the lives of the unit he's assigned to, the company or whatever, is there every day with the troops, though that company commander couldn't define theology if his life depended on it, he recognizes when a man works and earns his pay, and therefore the chaplain has his support and cooperation because he's a hard worker. And this is what's setting, one of the things that's setting our chaplains apart. They're hard workers. They hit the ground running, and they are ministering every opportunity they get. They're seen, they're involved, they're active there. We visited one of our younger chaplains this past spring out in California, NAS Lemoore. And I've been in this long enough. He's one of those that I met him at Ryan's Steakhouse near the campus in those days of Pensacola Christian College. He was a freshman there. Called me and wanted to talk about the chaplaincy. And so we met at the steakhouse, had lunch together, and I answered questions about the chaplaincy. He's since finished college, seminary, is now a year and a half active duty Navy chaplain. In the spring, we were there, and Robert told me, he said, shortly after I got to the base here, I decided that I would visit the flight line to just get to know those that are maintaining the aircraft. That's a jet fighter base there in Central California. And so he went down and just started introducing himself as chaplain there and inviting folks to the chapel service. And he talked to several folks, and one man just took a little more time, wanted to talk with him. And he told Robert this. He said, "I've been in the Navy 20 plus years now. You're the first chaplain that's ever come to my workstation," introduced himself, and invited me to a chapel service. 20 years, a chaplain had never shown any interest in him. It makes a difference when a man puts forth the effort to take time to go and visit them where they are. And Robert's having a great ministry there. We could go on with other stories like that. But the fact that they're involved, they're working, and the doors for ministry are open. The chaplain is a pastor in uniform. What the pastor does in civilian life, the chaplain does there in the military. Of course, there's preaching, there's funerals, there's weddings, there's hospital visitation, counseling. The chaplains are doing a tremendous amount of counseling these days. Youth activities to organize and participate in. Of course, now this would be on a base stateside primarily where families are there. But he can have organize a youth activity, the teenagers, and bring them together Friday evening or Saturday afternoon for a youth outing. And before they go home, feed them and preach to them. Even having vacation Bible schools for the grammar school age young people. The chaplain, all of these activities the chaplain can be involved in. Plus, he is an advisor to his company commander. Though he might not always quote a verse of Scripture, his advice is always grounded in the Word of God. The godly chaplain, the man that's there to serve the Lord. And it's exciting where God is placing some of our chaplains these days. Let me say, and I think you understand, of course, military chaplains, active duty, reserve, we endorse. Also, Civil Air Patrol chaplains, police department, fire department, hospital chaplains. Wherever a man uses the title chaplain to describe his ministry, we're there to endorse. For the military, it's an absolute necessity. They must have the endorsement. Others, it simply gives them credibility to have an endorsement by a Department of Defense authorized endorsing agency. So we're there to help. But God is blessing our men, placing them in key positions of leadership today. It's exciting what God's doing. I mentioned Wayne Bly. He's now retired. But his last active duty assignment as a Navy chaplain was to the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon. He was a chaplain there for those high-ranking officers in the Pentagon. While Wayne was there, he was the voice that defined biblical fundamentalism for the chaplaincy corps. Got down on paper when someone says they're biblical fundamentalists, what they mean by that, and anyone that wants to know can go look it up, and an accurate definition. One of our Army chaplains, Joe Willis, is now stationed at Central Command Headquarters, MacDill Air Force Base, in Tampa, Florida. That's where this war in Iraq and Afghanistan is being run from. Of course, from the president through the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs, but then those that put it all together and then pass the orders on over to the commanders on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan is coming out of Tampa, MacDill Air Force Base there. Joe Willis is the chaplain there. As the chaplain moves up in rank, his congregation gets smaller, but their influence expands greatly. Joe no longer preaches at a chapel on Sunday morning. In fact, he's a deacon in his local church there, involved in the Sunday school and just very busy in the church on the weekends, for he doesn't have responsibilities on the base. And that's when he's home, for Joe has oversight of all the chaplains in Iraq and Afghanistan, to see that they're doing what they're getting paid to do. Not tell them what to preach, but just checking up on them. He flies over periodically and just visits the chaplains, also seeing that all of the troops have access to services. But General Petraeus is at Central Command Headquarters now. You know the name. He was on the ground over in Iraq for many months. He's a 5-star general. He has some 4 stars under him, 3, 2, 1 stars, and on down, chain of command. Joe is the chaplain to all of those generals there at MacDill Air Force Base, or Central Command Headquarters, not the base. And once a month, Joe briefs General Petraeus as to what's going on in the on the ground over there as far as religious things are going on over there. Use that word. We don't necessarily like it, but it says what we want to say. And then I don't know how often, but General Petraeus briefs President Obama. And so God has put a solid, independent, fundamental Baptist chaplain, one voice from the President of the United States of America. Only God could do that. You know, what's going to come of it? Whoever thought the results that took place did when Potter or Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and carried him into Pharaoh's house. or Joseph in Potiphar's house, or Daniel in Babylon. You know, those when they first wound up there, whoever thought that they'd be used like they were? And so who knows what God will do with Joe Willis there and the input he has, godly, scriptural advice to General Petraeus. Gentlemen, it's a great place of ministry. Let me share one more quick story. Last summer, a little over a year ago now, in the state of Maine, I was preaching on Sunday morning in a church. Between Sunday school and church, an elderly gentleman walked into the service. Afterwards, I got to talking to him. In his 80s, he was a Navy chaplain during the Second World War at Great Lakes Naval Center near Chicago. And he told me, he said, "Preacher, those 2 years I was a Navy chaplain were the most productive years of all of my ministry." He said, "I saw more souls saved and impacted more lives for the cause of Christ than any other 2 years of my entire ministry." And it's still like that, gentlemen. There's a great need for godly chaplains. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being here and sharing with these young men that you've called to preach, Lord, and they're preparing. Guide them, direct them, Lord. How exciting it would be if one or two out of this class one day would be in the military as a chaplain. Lord, that's your choice. Just give them wisdom, Lord, and may they follow your direction in their lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.